Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. here with the big man, the beef, Bruce Hall.
I love listening to Denny Green at 10 o'clock in the morning. Because I love that guy. I met his daughter at the Olympics in 96. She was a travel agent from L.A. She was a beautiful girl. She's probably 50 now, but back in 96, she was in her mid-30s and looking pretty damn hot, to be honest with you. Denny, if that take that as a compliment, buddy. I've always been a big fan of yours. Not a big fan of Herman Edwards. I was a big fan of his as a coach, but it's a really good lead-in, and I like it. Kyle, I hope you got everything straightened out there. It's great talking to you. I got Matt here on the box with us, and Roy G's here. Roy went saw some more basketball last weekend, a lot of great high school players, right?
Yeah, and I saw some collegiate and ex-pro players as well.
You know, we're right in the middle of the final round of the British Open, or as they call it, the Open Championship in Europe, because, you know, to them, this is the Open. And, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I've been getting up at 4:30 every morning and watching this live, because I have been.
Yeah,
it's been a little tough staying awake from time to time. You know, everybody out there who follows the show knows I coach baseball. My team has been rained out, like, for 48 straight hours. We've had a tropical depression sitting on top of us for God knows how long, and it was misting and raining all the way until I got into Maryland this morning, and it cleared up a little bit up here, but we're south of that, and hopefully we'll get two games in later today. I am through Fios, which I use Verizon. That's a free gig for you. I got rid of DirecTV because I got tired of having storms and not being able to see anything, which sucks. So I got Fios, and it was a little cheaper because we've got our internet with Verizon. And Verizon it doesn't know it yet. They're going to be one of my big sponsors here in about a month or two, because I'm going to attack them physically if they don't give me what I'm looking for.
I have Fios, too. And
it is pretty good.
I mean, I miss DirecTV.
Do you know what I like about Fios, Roy? What I like about Fios is I can tape something, and I don't have to watch it.
Well, that's the same thing with DirecTV.
Yeah, but no, DirecTV.
DirecTV or Fios,
no,
you can
not.
Sponsor Bruce. DirecTV, please give me back.
Yeah, sponsor us. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on AM 1230 WFAS. Just texted an old friend of mine, Bruce Bochy, and he may be calling us sometime before noon. It's packing day for the Giants. They're getting ready to go to St. Louis. They've won their first two in Philly, and a couple of pretty good games. Looks like Buster Posey's waking up. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball, obviously, to the max. Mm-hmm. Yankees and the Mets kind of took the week off. I mean, they played okay, but the Mets are reeling.
They must have all been very excited and celebrating the New York team who won the Nike World Basketball Festival.
Now, who was that,
weekend.
Roy? Because I even don't know that.
Yeah, well, last weekend, the Nike World Basketball Festival at the DC Armory, which I was in attendance at. You can check out my pictures from that on Instagram or follow me on Twitter, SportsManCave. And they had a dunk contest, which was a free – I mean, the dude who won it it was ridiculous. He put the ball on the ground, did a cartwheel, picked up the ball while doing a cartwheel, put the ball between his legs and dunked it with a 59-inch vertical.
Do you know, I think I saw that. And how do you have a 59-inch vertical?
Freak.
Isn't that like, why isn't he a high jumper on the Olympic
it's
team?
It's ridiculous. They measured his vertical with these shoes that the whole tournament was
were
about.
Were they illegal shoes?
They're the Nike Hyperflights. And they also had the Jordan Superflies, which is what the
Olympic
teams
Nike Hyperflights. I just want a 10-inch vertical. That's all I want. I want to be off the ground when I'm shooting my jump shot. There's nothing worse than being an old man in like a alumni game, and you're like 7 for 8 from the outside, but your toes are touching the ground every time on your jump shot.
59-inch vertical. They had a like the ad that they had.
That's
playing,
5 feet, by the way, minus an inch.
They had an ad playing over and over and over again for the Nike Hyperflights, and it was LeBron James dunking. And it was like 40-inch vertical.
Yeah, but he's got all that meat to carry. This kid's probably bony.
And then this guy came out there, and he was just like, I'm going to do a cartwheel, pick the ball up between my legs, and dunk it.
59-inch vertical. Do you remember the kid's name?
It was
I knew.
Just Fly, I think is what it was.
Where's he from? Do you even know where he's from? We'll find that out for everybody, because if that kid is anywhere near me and I'm a recruiter for an NCAA Division I basketball team, I want the guy with the 59-inch vertical on my roster.
I don't think he was a high school kid. I don't know much about him.
You think he was just some dude from the street?
Well, I think he was. I think he was. He plays in different leagues. He might have been from New York. He was. There was the. They had the high school team, which it was Canada versus USA West.
Right.
USA Midwest. USA Midwest won by 4, and then New York beat LA in the Battle of the Cities.
Of course they did.
That was for the championship.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, they won by 2, and it was. It's
New York, for Christ's sake. It's not L.A.
Too Hard to Guard was his name, out of Puerto Rico. He was either out of Puerto Rico or Dominican. And he hit the game winner. And, I mean, the place went crazy.
Hey, Roy.
So New York is the champion of the Battle of the Cities for the New York –
congratulations, New York, and I'm glad you won, especially since we're going out of AM 1230 WFAS. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, do me a favor, would you please?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm getting ready to talk about the Open Championship, because everybody that's listening to us right now should be watching this. If you're a golfer or you're a fan of golf, you need to be watching this. The big guys don't tee it up probably for another few minutes. Right now, well, actually, no, everybody's out. Yeah. Tiger through 3 is even today. Brant Snedeker, who he's playing with right now, is 7 under. He is even today. Adam Scott's already lost a stroke. And through 3, Adam Scott is 1 over. Graham McDowell is 1 over. I picked, you know what I love about Bob Irsay?
What's that?
Or Jim Irsay, I'm sorry, the son. Jim Irsay has all these contests, if you follow him on Twitter. And one of the great... Roy's showing me this guy's vertical.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Those are illegal shoes, by the way. They got to be. He's got to have, like, springs in them.
They just show people going crazy, pulling their hair out.
I mean, he almost hit his head on the rim, and he is a bone,
cartwheel,
by the way,
between the legs.
The guy's a bone, and he's a high school kid.
He's not a high school kid. There's no way.
He quit school. Oh, he's got a full beard?
He's got a full beard.
I didn't even see that. All right, but listen.
Here's a professional street baller. That's
all right,
what he is.
I'm going back. I'm going to go over this stuff right now for everybody looking. If you're in your car and you want to know what's going on with the British Open, Tiger's even. He's minus 6. He's 4 shots back of Adam Scott. Adam Scott is going to come back to the group. If Adam Scott breaks 70 today, I will be the most surprised person in the history of golf, because there's no way this guy is going to shoot 66, 67 today. This guy is absolutely not going to win this tournament. The winner is going to come from back, and I think that the winner is going to be either Tiger Woods. I think the winner is going to be Graham McDowell. And, you know, I'm going to pick a name out of here just because he's already finished. But I think Nick Coulthard's, who finished minus 5 for the day. I mean, the guy shot a 65 today on a really tough day to play. It's not that tough early, and that's what he did. But Nick Coulthard's went from 44th to tied for 10th, and he's in the clubhouse probably having a margarita and eating breakfast. That's what I'd be doing, because the chances of him winning are probably 1 in 30, but I'm picking him anyway.
He's at minus 1 right now, right?
Yeah, he is, but he's the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, you know, all these guys, if this weather that's supposed to be upon them soon, and by the way, not unlike weathermen in our country, evidently they're thought of even less in Great Britain, because all the people are talking about is how they've blown the call every day, which way the wind was coming from, was there going to be wind, was there going to be rain, and it's been three perfect days of golf. I mean, I got
until
tired
today. Now it's it's windy.
Well, it's starting to get windy. Yeah. It hasn't really hit them yet, but you know what? It's just like if you ever watched any movies about D-Day, The Longest Day, you know, what was the big movie with Tom Hanks in it?
Saving Private Ryan. Saving Ryan's
Privates.
It was
the nastiest weather you've ever seen when they came over and invaded France. For the first time in generations, my good people and my fans, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back.
On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS New York, talking the open.
I'm dancing.
But we got a lot to talk about
today. I just took a big bite of a really good Danish.
Yes, he did. And I can account. And so, anyways, we got a lot to talk about today. The Joe Paterno statue. There has been a decision. We got the British Open.
Thank God that they listened to Bobby Bowden.
We have some. I guess now we don't have to really leak anything. Do you want to just run straight into the Paterno statue? I was going to leave that for later, but
now let's talk about it, because evidently, through some miracle, the PGA.com website has just given me, and I don't have a TV on here because I get distracted with television. I literally would stop probably talking on the radio, and a lot of people are probably clapping right now, but I would stop talking on the radio if there was a TV in front of me, because I would just be drooling and watching it. Joe Paterno, and we talked about it last week, Bobby Bowden came out and said, hey, man, you can't have that damn statue there. That's all everybody's going to ever talk about. Blah, blah, blah. That statue. Why? Well, he's right. They voted this week to tear it down.
Yeah.
And, I wonder if they're not going to sell off little pieces of that statue for like $1,000 a piece to raise money to give the people that are getting ready to get fired some severance pay when they leave. Because there's going to be a whole lot of people in Happy Valley looking for work here in about, what would you say, 2 weeks?
Pretty darn soon. That's
yeah. As soon as the NCAA gives them a death penalty, they get to fire half of their employees because they all work for the football team. And let me just say this, and I'm saying this as an athlete, and I'm saying this as an alumni of a university, okay? Football, if you're a member of another sport, sucks. And I'm going to tell you why it sucks. It sucks because they sap the money and every single thing out of the university it can get to give them 86, and I might be wrong, it might be 85, but I think it's 86 full scholarships for a sport where you can't put more than 11 people on the field at one time. In baseball, you put 9 people on the field at one time, and you have to have pitchers who only throw once a week, starting pitchers. So baseball really has about 15 full-time guys, right? They get 11.9 scholarships fully vested. Football, somehow through a miracle of science and God and Joe Paterno at Penn State, get 86 full rides. And I'm going to tell you right now, half those guys don't see the field for any length of time. And it's because they raise all the money.
It's 85. But to what I would say, the argument on the other side of that is exactly what you were about to say.
Yeah, they raise all the money.
Exactly. They bring in the most money.
Okay.
I mean, how many
people? Now, let me explain why they're the ones that bring in the most money. This is a football country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Not only that, Roy, but not only is it a football country, But the people who follow football aren't necessarily football people. Mm-hmm. They're just regular alumni fans who can spend an entire day. And I love this about football. You can get up early in the morning, start tailgating. You can drive over to the university. At East Carolina University in Greenville, people start tailgating at 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. If the game is at 7 at night, they're there by noon. And they're cooking out. They're having they've laid up buffet lines. They're drinking. Did I mention they're drinking? They're drinking. They're having fun. They're meeting with people. You know, they're bringing kids. It's a lot of fun. In this day and age, you can't afford to do that for every sport. Wouldn't you agree?
That and a lot of the facilities don't allow it. I mean, I went to WVU, which is not a small school, and as you might have heard, we do like to, you know, partake in extracurriculars.
Well, we've heard that about that.
And I was in charge of the tailgating. I was a social chair for my fraternity. So I was getting up for football games. I was getting up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to go round up all the beer. Now, come basketball season, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to tailgate at the Coliseum. So,
and you know why that is? Because you're so much closer to the floor, and if you're inebriated, you can actually hit the floor with all kinds of things. Condoms, when somebody's, you know, they've done this at Duke. Syringes, aspirin. The Dukies?
Yeah.
What do they call those guys?
The Cameron Crazies.
The Cameron Crazies. I can remember when a guy named Austin, who was a point guard for NC State, stole some aspirin out of a drugstore. So as soon as they introduced him, there were like 1,000 aspirin tablets on the floor. And they got them up pretty quick with brooms and stuff. But that's the kind of stuff they do. And I understand why they don't do it for baseball. But for baseball, they do tailgate.
Well,
but baseball has become,
you
even
get
though,
like 1,200 people.
Even though it's
game.
Our national pastime and still is called our national pastime. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think baseball is big, look at the numbers that people are bringing in right now during the Major League Baseball season. They're setting another record this year with attendance total. Okay, in Washington, our attendance is up 56%. The Nationals increased their attendance 56% over last year to this date. Now, being in first place doesn't hurt.
Exactly. I mean,
but the record
has a lot to do with
that. But they were hoping that was what was going to happen, and it is. And I can remember when I was giving Buck Showalter so much crap, the Baltimore Oriole manager, when he got interviewed like in April and said, oh, we don't worry about Washington. Mm-hmm. We don't pull from them. No, they're never going to draw. They've proven they can never draw. Guess what, Buck? You know, To hell with you in a handbasket. Not only are you a prick, you're wrong. And you're a pretty good manager. I'll give you that. But you are a prick on your best day. I'm Bruce Hall, and I think Buck Showalter is a prick.
Now, you're talking about baseball as the national pastime of the United States.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they still only get 11.9 scholarships. And I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't right.
Right, but look at the biggest stadium, the biggest collegiate stadium in all, you know, in all of baseball is LSU. And it holds 10,300 people.
Well, that's because they fill it up. And baseball tickets are as expensive almost as football tickets.
Okay, but 10,000 people is the biggest collegiate stadium. That's smaller than probably the smallest D1 collegiate football stadium.
Well, let's think about this for a second. You're talking about an SEC team.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're not getting off here, Matt, are we? If we get off on a tangent, let me know. The SEC rules in football, wouldn't you agree? I mean, football is king in the SEC. Now, the SEC has great baseball, too.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, just name a team. I'll tell you who the head coach is and you know, the last time they went to the College World Series. I mean, you're talking about LSU, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Florida.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss is – they haven't really gone anywhere lately.
But they have the second biggest stadium.
And by the way, I'm getting off on a tangent here, Matt. Don't let me do it. But there was an interview that they had the SEC luncheon or whatever, mm-hmm. when all the coaches went. And Steve Spurrier, the old football coach, Steve Spurrier said, you know, I don't have anything to do with our schedule. If I had anything to do with our schedule, we'd play Ole Miss twice. God, that was a nice thing to say about Ole Miss. You know, he said, we wouldn't be playing LSU. We'd be playing Ole Miss twice. So if you don't like Steve Spurrier, there's another reason not to like him. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about football, basketball, baseball. We're talking about how this all started with me saying football's a big bully. And they are. They are.
Yeah, but rightfully so.
No, not rightfully so, because with Title IX, it screws too many men's programs. If Title IX was done,
okay,
no, if Title IX was done properly, which nobody in Congress has enough intelligence, evidently, to get together and go, wait a minute, football is huge. We can't count that against men's sports because it's totally separate from everything else. Hey, I got news for you. If you're a girl and you want to be a kicker on a national championship team, and oh, by the way, they've let some do that,
yeah.
It's a co-ed sport. Because you can't tell a woman she can't play.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
It is true.
So it should be separated. It should be by itself. And then you deal with Title IX. Because do you know how we've had this discussion before? How many percent of spectators watch women's sports in NCAA Division I? I'm talking about all their sports. I'm talking about women's lacrosse, women's soccer, women's basketball, mm-hmm. women's track and field. Do you know how many percent out of the total watch women's sports? 4%.
Yeah, but
4.
I mean, women's sports don't have the
if
football.
They didn't have, I'm going to say something really nasty here, wasn't for politics, they wouldn't have the kind of support they have now. It's all politically correct crap.
Maybe.
It's politically correct crap. And if you agree with me, call in. We want to hear you. What's the phone number?
We're going to get more into this on the other side. It's 240-317-7294.
Say it again.
240-317-7294.
Yeah, I want to know if there's anybody in New York that's got the kahunas to side with me and say what's on your mind. We'll be right back here in a minute. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Let it come, let it come, let it come.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about, Title IX, really, when it breaks down to it.
We got off on that. And that's good. You know what? We should talk about that because we're talking about Paterno. And let's face it. If they get the death penalty at Penn State, everybody's not going to get it. Football's going to get it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That's one of the best things, in my opinion, that can happen in the NCAA right now. Because if it happens, they'll find out that life can exist without football at a university. At George Mason University, do they have football, Roy? No.
Yeah. And I'm actually...
Well, they're getting ready to start a program.
I'm talking to the coach right now, actually. I'm trying to get him to call in.
Roy, they haven't had football until, like, next season.
George Mason University, the coach, his name is Matt Dyson, and I'm
talking
to him right now.
Roy, have they had football up until next year?
I'm going to get him to call in. And
they don't... They have. Roy, do you really not know that they have not had a football program? They haven't had a football program ever at George Mason.
I've had friends who've played on the team.
At George Mason?
Yes, at George Mason.
Well, it's club football, Roy. That's not varsity football. They don't have scholarships.
It's not D1 if that's what you're talking
it's
about.
It's not
right?
even D3, Roy. Well, they're a D1 program. D3 they're going to be a D1 football program.
Well, they're going to be JUCO right now, which is they play like other JUCO schools.
They're making the transition from club football to Division I slowly is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not playing.
But have
right,
they
you're
existed
right,
as a very good university here in Northern Virginia for how many years? 35, 40 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they went to the
Guess
Final
what
Four
they
in
have.
Basketball.
They have everything else for men. Everything else. Why? Because they don't have a damn football program. Now they're going to have football. So now everybody else has got to, tighten up their belt, I guess. And they're going to have to be real careful that they don't screw up, that they don't not pay attention, so they lose their program. Now, they have one of the greatest – I mean, they've got a wrestling team at George Mason. They got a guy from the University of Minnesota who was an assistant there who is recruiting and building a program. They only have 4.5 scholarships at George Mason. They're not even fully vested for wrestling. They need fully vested wrestling is 9.9 scholarships. That's probably how many kickers they have on scholarship at Penn State. 9.9, something like that. Probably more like 4. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about this.
We're going
to
get a...
Give us a call. Give me the number.
We're going to get Coach Dyson a call in here in a second.
That would be great. I want to hear this because I'm going to give him pure hell about screwing up the damn balance of a really good organization at George Mason. No, I'm just kidding. If they get football, I'm all for it because that means a lot more kids locally will get scholarships and be able to stay closer to home. You know, VCU doesn't have football, right?
No.
They
have those T-shirts that say undefeated since whatever.
Well, yeah, at East Carolina. Hey, you know, at East Carolina, we have club wrestling now for the second year in a row. Guess what? This is what I had to do.
We
have a caller? Oh, this is great. Who are we talking to, Matt? Hey, who's this? I can't hear you, buddy.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Matt Dyson calling.
There he is.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? I'm sitting here blasting football, and Roy's sitting here. Roy really, he thought they had football there for a while. What was it, club football, then they went a JUCO schedule? Or is it a transition into Division One, or are you going to start Division Three, Division Two? How's that going to work?
No, it won't be anything like that, simply because we are a Division One school. So if we have to make a move, the move we would have to make is to a 1AA or a 1A level.
Yeah, and that's like Richmond, correct, or Appalachian State?
Yeah,
right.
Most of those schools and a lot of the schools that are in the CAA conference, you know, James Madison and
JMU's got a great football. Yeah, they got a great football program there. And that's 1AA, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, that's super. Now, where are you from? Now, this will be your first year at the university or no?
No, actually, I've been at the university for a while. I just took over as the head coach 4 years ago. You know, we have a club team there.
Right.
And,
I played club football at East Carolina back in the 70s. We used to play JUCOs is what we played.
Yeah, we played JUCOs. We played Division II, Division III schools, as well as NAIA. We've kind of jumped around the board.
You're a barnstormer. You're a barnstormer. Yeah. That's the way to be. Hey, listen, if somebody wants to play football and they've got insurance, go play them. You know?
Exactly. So, you know, so it's become a lot more regulated for the club teams. There's a new club league called the NCFA, and they've got club teams all the way up and down the Eastern Seaboard and into the Midwest. So it's becoming kind of a big deal. This year is actually going to be the first national championship game that's played in the NCFA.
That's fantastic. Now, for those of you listening that don't know who we're talking to, we're talking to the head coach.
Yes, yeah, Coach Matt Dyson, head coach of the George Mason Patriots.
And this is a George Mason University. Their campus is in Fairfax, Virginia. And George Mason University, Coach, I'm sure you knew this, and I'm sure I'm a lot older than you, but I can remember when all of the big wigs that were real estate developers in Northern Virginia put together all their dollars and started George Mason back in the late 60s, early 70s. I can remember when George Mason University's baseball team played at Old Fairfax High School, which is now Paul VI Catholic. And they played there for like 10, 12 years. It's absolutely grown. They've got a good baseball program there. As a matter of fact, a lot of local kids that I know play on that team. But George Mason is a very good school. You've also got Joe Russell there coaching wrestling. And Joe Russell is one of the top. Dan Gable at a luncheon about 6 months ago at the Tower Club in Tyson's Corner said that Joe Russell was the best wrestler in high school he ever saw. And for those of you who don't know who Dan Gable is, he's like Jesus to wrestling. I mean, he is the number one wrestler in the history of wrestling in the United States. You know, you can compare Cale Sanderson to him. The only difference is Dan is a lot more outgoing. He won, I don't know, 15 national championships at the University of Iowa. Cale's working, I think, on his third one at Penn State.
Now, Coach, with the transition into the D1, either going to be D1AA or D1AAA, or however you guys are going to break it down, do you have any idea of how scholarships are going to work, or do you not give scholarships at that level? How does that work?
Well, it's really up to the university because there's a number of different phases that you could do. You could do 1AA non-scholarship, which is what Georgetown used to be, and you can go 1AA scholarship, in which you can still actually break those down amongst multiple players or multiple athletes to be able to kind of separate out one scholarship and be able to send it off to two different people or something along those lines as partials. Not really sure in terms of the university's direction in that regard, being as just got a new president And I know there's probably a lot of noise starting to rally up again in regards to trying to get football as a Division I, AA, 1A program.
So what you're saying, that hasn't actually taken place yet. They haven't made that decision as to when that's going to happen?
They have not made that decision. They had a vote back in 98, in which ultimately it was shot down. I believe it was like 5-4 in terms of the vote. And it kind of quieted down for a while. And as soon as people heard that Al Merton was retiring, the talk has started buzzing again. And I think people are getting more active in regards to it.
Right.
And ultimately, we want to be able to be in a situation where we're successful this year and we get more people knowing about the club team and create the idea of what it's going to be on campus if you have
right.
one AA, 1A type team.
That's great. That's great for you. So, at least you're going the right direction, you know, which a lot of schools don't with other sports. Let me ask you this. Can I ask you a personal question? How old are you?
If you're
too worried about giving out your age, just give me like between so and so and so and so. I don't care. I'm just trying to relate to who you are, what your background is, because I'm getting ready to hammer you about Title IX. So I need to know how old you are.
Oh, that's fine. I'm actually I'm about to turn 40 in a couple.
You played for the Raiders, right, Coach?
I've coached kids a lot older than you. So here, basically, now where are you from originally? Where's your high school? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to school in La Plata, Maryland.
Oh, you're from La Plata. So what county is that in Maryland? That's down near the water, right?
Yeah, it's Charles County.
Yeah, that's beautiful down there. There's a lot of horses down in Charles County too. We play the Southern Maryland Nationals at that Regency Furniture Stadium about four times a year. I coach in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League. But anyway, let me just ask you this. First of all, you know, the one thing about when you do go what I would consider to be full blown and have an actual 1AA division program, you will get X amount of scholarships that will count towards the men's sports at your campus in regards to Title IX. Title IX was brought about many years ago, and I'm an East Carolina grad. You know, I wrestled and played baseball at East Carolina University. I've seen a great wrestling program go from, you know, being in the top 10 in the country in the early to mid 70s to in 83, the program was gone. Now, it wasn't gone because of Title IX. It was gone because of something. You're aware of what's happened at the University of Maryland this year, right? It's a money deal. You know, they made some bad moves. They lost some coaches. You know, they lost Gary Williams in basketball. They lost Fridge in football. Brought in a guy nobody really likes that much from UConn. And all the alumni at Maryland basically just stopped giving them money. So they cut a bunch of programs there. They cut men's soccer. Mm-hmm. I want to say they cut women's track and field. They might have cut women's swimming, too. They might have cut men's swimming. They gave everybody 1 year to be able to raise enough money. You and I both know, your background at a university, you're 40, but you know a little something about budget. And budget is kind of a fixed number almost every year. Now, you can raise money for a certain sport and donate it to the university. But when I wrestled at East Carolina, do you know what our budget was for an entire year for wrestling? $25,000. What we got was in-state tuition breaks, which means that I had to only pay $180 a quarter as opposed to $1,200 a quarter back in the 70s. Now it's more like $10,000, okay? Because are you an educator too? Do you teach at the university?
No, I do not.
All right. Well, so I can say what I'm getting ready to say. Education is a big racket. You know it. I know it. It's all about giving everybody all the jobs they need, blah, 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 blah. You know, in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion, you know, education should be a state thing anyway. It shouldn't have anything to do with the federal government. Federal government gets involved in too much stuff, and that's a different argument for a later date, probably during the Barack Obama, Mitt Romney debates. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you guys start a football team, those football scholarships are going to have to trim some men somewhere. Where do you see that happening at George Mason University?
Well, I can't say that for sure. because the overall idea would be actually to add more of the women's sports to compensate for those scholarships that would be added.
That means more money, though, right?
That does mean more money, and chances are that would also be an increase in student fees, maybe something in regards to tuition. I'm not sure exactly how they would go about doing it, especially since, you know, that's been kind of on the hush right now in regards to what they're going to ultimately do with football.
Well, I tell you what, bringing football to George Mason won't be a bad thing. I mean, I love football. Listen, I handicapped football. I didn't play football until I got out of college because all I could do was wrestle and play baseball. I didn't have time for football. But we had a great club team at East Carolina. We used to play Central Piedmont Community College. We used to play Fort Bragg's team. They used to run out 100 guys in uniform at Fort Bragg. And you know how many people we had on our club team that played? Like 20. And we'd still beat them. You know, we'd still beat them because we had some good guys. Hey, listen, I wish you all the luck.
I got one more question for the coach. Now, Coach, you played at Michigan, right? You played for Michigan?
That is correct.
Oh, man, that's big time.
And then he went on to play for the Raiders. This is actually my...
I didn't hear that
yet. You could have listened to me.
Well,
and,
never said a word told about you that. You just didn't know anything about George Mason's football
this
program.
This was actually one of my old high school football coaches.
Well, he's a good guy, then.
So, Coach...
Paul's Church?
Yeah, he goes
to then
search.
He really cares about football.
So,
hey, by the way, hey, Coach, his dad, Greg, and I were on the same Little League team. We've been best friends since we were like 10 years old.
He knows my dad. So Coach, so from being a football player.
So you know I'm old.
So from being a football player at Michigan, you saw the 85 scholarship. Was it 85 scholarships when you played there?
Yeah.
So you saw the effect that football had on the rest of the sports at the university and at other universities. Do you think that one of the ideas that we've been throwing around here is that football should be in its own category when it comes to scholarships? Do you see that as a possibility? Do you agree with that? Do you think that, you know, what's your stance on the scholarships, the 85 scholarships in universities?
You know, Roy, ultimately, you know, as you look at football, like they're kind of saying, it's a different animal. And it presents a lot of different things that are brought to the table. If you talk about sports that are going to actually bring in revenue to the university, more than likely, nothing's going to top football. Mm-hmm. And alongside with that, you have a community involvement, you have a student involvement, you have an atmosphere within the university that is different than it is for any other sport. Now, I know in a lot of the big universities like the University of Michigan, the athletic department basically funds itself. Totally separate from the university. And as you look at it in terms of the scholarships for the competing teams and things along those lines, you'd like to see as much balance there as you can because you want to give everybody an opportunity to do what they, you know, really love to do in terms of sports. Because I think overall when you look at sports, you develop – as an athlete, a general sense of self that you don't do just being in college. You also, you know, you learn to work as a team. You learn to work as teammates. You learn to work with other people that you don't know, and you have to learn to find ways to make the adjustments. Now, you still do that in regular schooling in terms of studies and things along those lines in class, but it's a more commonly well-structured situation that helps you, you know, once you get done and, you know, you get done with school and you move on into real life and, you know, you're in your job. The benefits are huge. Especially, you know, for me, I see myself applying things that I did in football all the time in real life and in practical life. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that every football player does the same type of thing to put those situations out there.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, athletics, you know, even in high school, Matt, most kids you know, I have kids in high school. I still coach high school wrestling, if you can believe that.
And we hate to cut you off here, Coach, but we're up against a break. And I want to thank you for calling in and helping us out with this college football talk.
Hey, let's keep him on. I got a couple other questions I want to ask him.
Matt, can you stay on for the next break?
Can you stay on for a minute or two?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Stay on, because I got some Michigan stuff I want to throw at you. For the first time, we got to pay the bills here, Matt. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, we're back. This is Bruce Hall. We're on the phone right now with Matt Dyson. I didn't let Matt leave because he's such a good guest. And Matt, to be honest with you, hearing that you went to the University of Michigan, you know, the one thing, I'm a big, big wrestling guy. And the University of Michigan has a phenomenal history of wrestling, but it's got a phenomenal everything program. And I want to tell you, you may already know this, but Eric Backich, who just coached 2 years at the University of Maryland, and for the most part in 2 years turned their entire program around. He's a former East Carolina guy, and he went to Vanderbilt and recruited all those great teams at Vanderbilt when they won a national title that 1 year. Eric is now the new head coach at the University of Michigan. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, Eric Backich is going to turn things around at Michigan. Now, your guy up there has been there a long time. And evidently, it was you know, I don't know how long he had been there. But Eric will make a big difference for you up there. I just wanted you to know. I like to hear the fact that you know, that you understand that football is a different animal. And in my opinion, football is the elite fundraiser at most Division I programs. So, you know, you really can't, you know, if football is going to count towards Title IX, it shouldn't count as a men's sport. I threw out some stuff earlier. Women's sports does not get the support that men's sports do in college, unfortunately. They get 4 to 5% of the people that watch sports in college watch women's sports. The other 95% watch football, baseball, whatever it is, men's sports, basketball. Some schools like University of Tennessee, like Maryland with Coach Freeze, they have great support for women's basketball. I just wish that the NCAA / Congress, if they're going to keep their hands in this stupid thing, would just go, look, let's just separate football, let football be its own entity, and let's just divvy everything else up. Because for baseball to get 11.9 scholarships is a joke. To drop programs like soccer and men's wrestling from schools that have had Division I programs for almost 100 years is ridiculous. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm always very disturbed, you know, when you have to hear that, you know, schools have to cut out programs for whatever reason, whether it be through Title IX or whether it just be through budget cutting. But yeah, but like I said before, you know, football is just a different animal. I think we're of the same mind in that, you know, if football was separate and you balanced out everything else, because there's no other sport that has as many players on a team as football does. Anyway, you cut it.
Right.
You know, no. There is no other sport that does that. So you're trying to balance that versus the rest of all the other sporting activities. And, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really balance.
No, and it doesn't, it doesn't work mathematically, not if you have an IQ over 80. I just don't understand how Congress and the NCAA can continue to do this. Listen, we do have to run, but let me ask you one last question.
Right.
And then Roy's
got
a question for you, too. Actually, okay. Roy brought you on. But I'm excited that you're on. Can we call you back sometime and have you on again as we get closer? Because we'd like to let everybody know how you develop a Division I AA program. But I wanted to ask you who you played for. Did you play for Bo 1 year or 2 years?
No, I was actually recruited by Bo, and I played all my years under Moeller.
Yeah, you were Moeller, the guy from – where was he from? What high school was he from? Cincinnati? Was he from No, he was a defensive coordinator there, right, for many years. Yeah, now, what position did you play?
I was an outside linebacker for most of my career and also a defensive end.
Well, and you were a Raider, so you're going to know my good friend Reggie McKenzie. His brother Rollo and I are best friends. He actually is at Herndon High School right here in Northern Virginia. He helps him out every year. Coach, thanks for having us on. Here's Roy.
He's got
one more question for you.
All right, Coach. Okay. Now, unlike Bruce, I do have your Wikipedia page pulled up. Did you even know that you had a Wikipedia page first?
I don't even know what Wikipedia means. It sounds like you're misspelling it.
And I knew this about you.
Is it an encyclopedia?
I knew this about you because I know you, but and you played for the Raiders, and your career was ended short due to injury. Is that, am I right there? Was it your knee?
Yeah, I ended up tearing all four ligaments in my knee.
Now, we saw one thing with the NFL lockout, that the injuries and we saw the strikes of all the old players coming back and trying to get health, some sort of health insurance for the NFL. Was there any health insurance or help with the NFL when you played and now going forward? Is that going to affect you at all?
No, so far, for what has been done, helping me going forward, no. Other than the basic workman's comp situation, I've always been since you know watching the league for so long. You always kind of wonder about that with the older players. You like to see them taken care of because of the type of physical damage that they take.
Right.
And you know, I'm sure there is some personal responsibility within there, but you know, you're also making money off of the product. So you know, this came up years ago, but nothing was ever done. And I think that's why you have so many players now who are for filing suits against the NFL because of that. So, you know, going forward, you know, ultimately I think they'll probably try to put something in place to conserve money, to be able to help take care of that, or something that they'll write into the contract. But, you know, in the past, those guys have already taken the lumps and they've already taken the hits. And you know, it's sad that you see guys who are so bad off that they're killing themselves and, you know, hoping to have someone study their brains to see what they've been going through.
Well, now, chances are you banged your helmet into a few running backs when you were playing. Have you noticed any differences as you've gotten older? Not that 40 is old, for crying out loud. I could be your father almost. I'm 58 years old.
I'll tell you this. I have never been a subject of having a concussion.
Right.
So ultimately, I don't know what that's like.
But you remember going back out there, right, when you were a little dinged up just to make sure you were out on the field, right? That's happened to me. So it's had to happen to you.
I've had physical injuries, but I've never had anything that was a head injury.
Wow.
That really, you know, incapacitated me. And ultimately, one of the big reasons why I think that is because I, you know, my strength and conditioning coach at Michigan was a very firm advocate of training the neck. And most guys don't train their necks.
Right.
So when you look at it, it's kind of like a kid in a baby seat. That's why you put the kid in the baby seat, you put him in the seat backwards, so that if you have a head-on crash, it doesn't affect the baby's head, the seat cradles the head, and the baby's safe. But when otherwise, you deal with a lot of whiplash, which forces that brain to be thrown around. And, you know, having a strong, stable neck helps to you know, kind of to cushion that blow, to soften that. And, you know, while I was at Michigan, I think we may have had one player who had a concussion.
Huh. That's incredible when you think about it. And it says a lot for your equipment. It's probably replaced every year.
Well, yeah, and what he's saying with the trainers as well. But, Coach, we are up against another break, and I just want to thank you for coming on with us, staying that extra break.
Thanks, Matt. And, hey, listen, we're going to have you back on for sure.
Definitely, no problem.
Hey, listen, Matt, we'll see you later. We're just getting off with Matt Dyson, who's going to end up being the head coach at the George Mason University for football. Currently, he's their club coach. They're on a JUCO schedule next year, and they're transitioning into NCAA Division I AA, which is exactly what, like, the University of Richmond and Appalachian State University have. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS New York. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And thanks again to Matt Dyson,
what a great
the GMU
guy.
Coach, for calling in.
He's
and
just
talking
a kid.
College football.
He's 40. And he coached at Falls Church High School, which there's a special place in heaven for him.
Absolutely.
You know, so, what? Football's football.
We're going to give a British Open update right now. Then we're going to get back into a little bit more football before we hit some MLB later. You'll get our picks for the day. We're also going to go over some odds to win the Super Bowl rookies reported on last Monday.
Well, I want you to give me the odds, and I'll give you the winners right now because I did pick the New York Football Giants October. Hey, listen, Giant fans, 1 to 3:30 p.m., the 27th of July, training camp practice. They have their training camp up north, right? Somewhere like Albany. I really should know this. I know it's outside of town. By the way, Victor Cruz has a new book out. Who knew? I went to Barnes & Noble the other day and I bought his book. Of course, I'm not reading that now. I'm reading Mick Jagger's book. It's a lot more dicey. You know, by the way, if you haven't read Mick Jagger's book, you got to read it. It's unbelievable. And it's got to be true because, you know, Mick Jagger's father was a PE teacher. He was one of the most renowned physical educators in England. And he actually got these incredible awards all the time because of how famous he was. Mm-hmm. And Jagger, even when he was in his 20s, if his dad said 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 leg lifts, Mick would do it. He was actually very athletic, Mick was. Keith Richard, on the other hand, was a little runt, but you got to read the book. I'm not going to spoil it from you.
But you're right about the Giants camp. It's at University of Albany, and they do have the schedule up. The players report Thursday.
How did I know that?
The players report Thursday, and there's a full schedule up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It looks like they're going all the way, you know, all the way up, obviously, August the 15th at University of Albany. So, yeah, you guys will be able to check them out.
I wonder how many people make the drive, because it's not short. I mean, it's a pretty good drive. It looks like training camp practice finishes up on the 8th of August. And, you know, Roy, you and I are going up there probably that weekend. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. There's a preseason game. Oh, shoot. It's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, at Jacksonville.
You know what? And I can't go the 24th. That's against the Bears now. That would be fun. We might have to go up for that anyway. We'll go up, eat at Augie's, go to the ball game, spend the night, come back the next day. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy G here with me. But anyway, they finish up
August 15th.
Yeah, well, they
when they break camp.
That's exactly right. And it looks like that's not far, at the New York Jets. Let's go that day. Can we go then, Roy? Can you get permission to go?
I don't see
the
why
17th,
not.
The 18th, and we'll come back the 19th. How's that?
That sounds
and
okay
that'll
to me.
Be great because we get to see who? Two words, Tim Tebow.
That's right. That's my boy,
Tim Tebow. Now that is going to be,
and he'll actually play quarterback there.
Yeah. Well, they say he's 278 pounds right now. I'm just kidding. I made that up. But if he was, he'd be a hell of a tight end. Hell, he'd be a hell of a quarterback. Who
well,
wants
the
to tackle him?
I mean, I've already talked about how they're talking about how he's going to be the punt blocker or punt whatever.
That's a good way to get a concussion unless you plan on rolling
him
out.
It's a good
out
way
or,
to pick up fourth downs.
Well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to snap him the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to take one step forward. Everybody will freeze, and then he'll throw it back to the kicker.
I'm telling you, the Jets are going to be good.
They're going to have a lot of fun plays to watch this year. There's no question about
that.
But
let's get into the
all
open.
Right, tell me about all our bad boys of the NFL. Because if you were paying attention this week, a lot of guys – need to talk to somebody. Go ahead, Roy. Tell us what happened. How many DUIs this week?
Well, there's Kenny Britt, Donald Washington, and Marshawn Lynch all have DUIs this offseason. And then if you want to add some basketball into the mix, New Yorkers, your boy Jason Kidd got a DWI. They tore his car up. I mean, the guy's lucky to be alive. And then another arrest would be Dez Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys with domestic violence.
Were we going to play the 911 call from Dez Bryant? Matt, are you set up for that? Let's go ahead and play it right now. This is the 911 call from his mom to 911.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
I'm out here at 901 Meadow.
901 Long Meadow in DeSoto? Okay, what's going on there?
My son is assaulting me. Yeah.
Where is he at?
Yeah.
Where is he at?
Yeah.
Hello?
This dude's chewing gum.
Where is he at?
He's here now.
How long ago did this happen?
It's happening now. It just happened.
Does anybody have any weapons?
Yeah. He won't go home. I keep telling him to go home. He won't go.
Okay, ma'am, does anybody have any weapons? Ma'am.
You can hear him yelling in the background.
He's screaming at the top of his lungs.
Has anybody been drinking?
Anyway, you get the gist of this. You know, it goes on
a little bit longer.
It's a lot of screaming and hollering and basically her going from I'm being assaulted to I've asked him to leave, he won't go, to no, he doesn't have any weapons now, but I know he's got weapons. Yeah. I mean, you know, and the 911 recipient call, you know, the guy that works for 911 is chomping his gum going, where's he at?
He asked
where's
them,
he at? Is he right there? Can I talk to him? Dez Bryant, he's like one of my favorite Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, he goes, do you know, what's his name? And they're like, Bryant. And he's like, Brian? No, Bryant, Dez Bryant. And the 911
anyway,
caller guy,
Dez Bryant,
call receiver.
Anyway,
freaks out for a second there.
Dez Bryant, unless you're like assaulting her boyfriend, or unless you're standing up for your mother, you need to see a therapist because this really isn't normal. You're going to be a great NFL player if you stay away from situations like this.
Yeah, but, I mean, what an offseason. Kenny Britt of the Titans, Donald
who's a
Washington
great receiver,
of the Chiefs,
way.
Marshawn Lynch of the Seahawks, Dez Bryant of the Cowboys. I mean, these aren't small names. These are starters.
Somebody with the Seattle Seahawks said that Dez Bryant, for as good, I can't remember who it was, but they said for as good of a running back as he is, and
Marshawn
how great
Lynch,
he,
you mean?
Yeah, as great as he is on his feet, he's a horrible driver. And if he's drunk too, that's not good. If you're a terrible driver and you've been drinking and you're impaired, that's not a good idea. So here's my question, Roy, and here's my question to everybody. And please call in if you have any idea why this is happening. 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. How do you make seven figures a year and you're not smart enough or aware enough, maybe, to get somebody else to drive or take a cab or call a limo service, for crying out loud? I'm not even rich, and I'd do that if I was drinking.
Yeah, I don't
I've been sober 28
this.
Years. I don't have to worry about it, but all my friends do, Roy. You know?
I am a loss for words. I mean, you'd think that if you see one of these kind of things in the media that another athlete would say, you know, I should probably pay somebody to drive me places.
Hey, you know, now there's a scoop. Now, let me ask you a question. Who was the basketball player that we all know and love?
Jason Kidd. Yeah.
And he wrecked his car.
And this was last Sunday. As we were on last Sunday, he was tearing his car up. So his happened Sunday morning. So that's a little bit different, but still, I mean, if you're that intoxicated, come on now.
I agree with you. We're going to talk about this some more when we get back. People, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking NFL. We're talking MLB. We're talking crazy people who have crazy money.
We're talking about don't drink and drive. Hello, don't drink and drive. You know, whether you're a role model or not, whether you think you should be or are a role model or not, don't be stupid enough in your 20s and 30s to drive after you've been drinking or smoking weed or whatever you're doing to screw you up when you get behind the wheel of a car. Call a frickin' cab. If you can't get a cab, call a limo company. They'll be more than happy to send somebody out for $250 to take you home. It's worth it because it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars and possibly your license if you like to drive.
And this goes for anybody, not just athletes.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a life lesson.
But when athletes are, I mean, you're right. The athletes are supposed to be the role models. So if this is happening at the highest, you know, end of the totem pole, it's going to trickle all the way down. People are going to think it's okay. It must be cool to get completely blasted the night before and then go out and drive. I mean, Jason Kidd, how blasted
how
did he have
38?
To be? He's probably 40 years old.
Almost 40 years old.
How blasted do you have to be to get a DWI the next morning? I mean, what were you doing?
Well, there's a lot goes into being an alcoholic. And I'm not saying that he's a textbook alcoholic. But if he's still blowing, and I'm going to tell you, parents, when you're out there, if your kids go out the night before and they're drinking, and you know they're drinking, and they make it home and they didn't drive, if they try to get up to go to work in the morning, make sure you talk to them before they go to work. Because I can tell you right now, I've stopped my son from getting in a car after he had a pretty big night, and he would have blown a .10 if I'd have let him get in his car. And do your work. I mean, be a friend and a parent, you know. Be a friend or a parent. I don't care what you do, but don't let these people get behind the wheel of a car, because either they're going to die or somebody else is going to die. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm not bragging, but I've been sober 28 years come Labor Day.
I don't mean to brag or anything.
Yeah, but 28 years is a long time to go without a drink. But you know what? I feel like I've lived 58 years because I've been sober for 28 years. I remember every night what I did. I don't remember where I put my keys 5 minutes ago, but I remember everything.
So we're going to get an update now of the British Open.
All right, here we go. You ready? I got it right here, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. Adam Scott, Graham McDowell, Tiger Woods and Ernie Els, and Brant Snedeker, for the most part, were who everybody gave a chance to win this thing. All four of those players, Adam Scott, Graham McDowell, Tiger Woods and Ernie Els, all two over for the day. What does that mean? That means the weather has hit. It's not crazy weather yet. I'm not even looking at a TV, but it's enough to have all four of those very good golfers two over on their side. That's through 7 holes and 8 holes and 9 holes. Brant Snedeker is 4 over for the day. Now, we saw Brant start to lose his game yesterday. Evidently, he's continuing a little bit because he's starting to take chances. Adam Scott's 9 under. Graham McDowell is 4 back at 5 under total for the tournament. Tiger Woods is in 3rd place. He's at 4 under. And then you got Ernie Els and Brant Snedeker tied at 3 under. This is a big, big, big news flash here. Mark Calcavecchia, who's 52 years old and who I've seen play golf for a long, long time. And, you know, you can think what you want about Cal. His wife caddies for him. That says enough about him. He's a good guy. Mark is 2 under and even on the day. You know who else is even through 12 holes? Louis Oosthuizen is a great player. Matt Kuchar is even for the day. Luke Donald through 13 is even for the day. So there's a lot going on there. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, Roy, the longer you're out there playing golf, the worse it's going to get. Now, there was a guy who put in a score of 1 under, Nicholas Kolsarts, who's got a really funky-looking flag. So he's from Denmark or somewhere. He shot a 65 today. Nobody else is going to shoot nearly a 65 today. If you shoot a 68, 69, you're kicking ass today at the British Open. You really are. And that is our leaderboard up to now. We're going to keep you abreast of what's going on. What do you want to talk about, Roy? Do you think it's baseball time yet? I think it's baseball time. You want to finish up on the NBA guys? Is there anybody else out there right now who has been arrested in the last 3 or 4 hours that we don't know about?
Not that I know of. But I guess some noteworthy NFL thing before we get off of football. Obviously, the Penn State, the Paterno statue have been torn down.
Oh, my God, that's
taken,
right.
Taken down.
Oh, we talked Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden had it right. You can't leave that up there. Everybody in the world is going to be talking about that statue. Why is that statue up here? He's absolutely right. That's all they'll talk about.
The NCAA is reportedly debating over whether or not to still do the death penalty. One quote of the chair said that they didn't get involved in punishing the school for criminal behavior, but a lot of people are saying that this is not only a criminal behavior, but it is also a football-related thing. So the NCAA to announce their penalties against Penn State football program tomorrow. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. And one last thing before we get into any other sports besides football, I got the odds to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, this I love. This is what we're going to be doing here, people, in about a month. We're going to start talking about well, I already made my predictions. That was like 6-7 weeks ago when the schedules came out.
So the favorite to win it is the Green Bay Packers, starting out at 5.5 to 1.
And who can beat the Green Bay Packers? New York Giants, baby.
The AFC team who 12 to 1 is the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they're way out. They're not going to win it.
Philadelphia Eagles 15 to 1. Denver Broncos 17 to 1.
Are we talking Super Bowl now?
This is a Super Bowl odds.
Okay.
And then it looks like the longest shot seems to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 85 to 1.
Yeah, just let's start start the other way. Who's the closest to even money to win it?
Is it
New England?
Green Bay Packers 5.5 to 1. New England is in 6.25.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia is up there. I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's a joke.
11 to 1.
Keep going.
Then it's Houston 11.5 to one.
You know what? Houston might be the play, and Green Bay might be the play. If you took a dime, which is 10 cents,
the New York Football Giants are 19 to 1. Along with the Ravens, I have from the AFC.
Well, you're crazy. Ravens aren't going to do anything this year. They're in a rebuilding mode, especially after losing their best player. He's not going to be back, right? He won't be back until the season's almost over, right? The linebacker that's so good.
Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count him out yet.
Yeah, but he's out.
So the biggest it looks like the biggest odds on the person with the least amount of, you know, the least favorite would be the Jacksonville Jaguars at 250 to 1.
Yeah, they're not going to make playoffs.
So for some reason, if you like the Jacksonville Jaguars this year,
yeah, bet a dollar on them, you win $250.
Yeah,
then you only burn a dollar. Personally, I like Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay, for all intents and purposes, for the majority of the season, had the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's face it. Baltimore Ravens had a better team than New England, but they blew the game. So New England ends up in the Super Bowl on a year that they really don't belong there anyway, in my opinion, and they weren't that good. They had some strength, no question. Did they have a running game? No. Did they have a really good defense? No. What did they have? They had what was left of Tom Brady and his offense, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a great coach. So they end up in the Super Bowl, and they get beat by the New York Giants, who deserved all the accolades, everything they did, because they beat two teams. They beat the Green Bay Packers,
yep,
who was everybody's pick, mm-hmm, early on. And then they beat San Francisco,
yep,
who proved to be every bit as tough as they were. What is San Francisco odds to win the Super Bowl?
San Francisco's odds are 12 to 1.
That's probably a good play, too, because he signed every, mm-hmm, single defensive player he had except one,
which is fifth best.
And that's a good, well, 12 to 1, how can you say no? If you bet a dime on, mm-hmm, them, you win 12 dimes.
Yep.
Okay? If you take, there's nobody. Now, do you have the AFC and the NFC?
I mean, I have everything's ranked from top to bottom here. So what do you have?
Well, I want to know who the shortest odds are. Who are the favorites to win the AFC and NFC?
It looks like the NFC here would be the Packers at 5.5 to 1, and then the AFC would be the Patriots.
But 5.5 to 1 is to win the NFC.
This is all Super Bowl.
Oh, so it doesn't have to do with AFC or NFC.
No, but I have the team. I have the top NFC team is the Packers. The top AFC team is the Patriots.
Okay, well, Patriots may be back, but I doubt it.
So according to these odds, next year the 2013 Super Bowl would be Packers Patriots.
Hey, what are the Jets? Just out of curiosity,
the Jets are 25 to 1.
I got that play. That's my play.
25.
What is Denver? What's Denver?
Denver is Their odds are a little bit high for me is at 14 to 1, and that's the Peyton Manning effect.
You know what? I think I would leave New England. It's just like a horse race. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bet the favorite. I would play Denver, and I would play the Jets. I like both those teams. Now, you like Baltimore because you live in
Baltimore. I like Baltimore.
They still got Joe Flacco.
They do have Joe Flacco, who I absolutely
They signed Ray Rice, which is good, but that means Ray Rice will probably get injured this year.
Well, Bay Rice is getting
beat. Hey, I'm just saying.
Bay Rice, you get your money, boo-boo.
Yeah, you know, you never know. You never know. I'm going to tell you, Green Bay should be there. Now, listen, in my opinion, and that's the name of the show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. In my opinion, in the Central Division, the North Division of the NFC, that's where everybody's going to come from. I see Detroit being in the playoffs. Chicago's got a great shot. You know, Forte, you know, they signed him.
Yep.
They've got their quarterback is healthy.
Yeah, Cutler's
they've
healthy.
They've got help on defense.
Yep.
They've got good special teams, and they play outside, just like Green Bay.
And they brought in Brandon Marshall, who
is
was
pretty
with
amazing.
Jay Cutler in Denver when they were lighting
and they
up.
And they liked each other. They actually got along really well.
Yeah, it was
those three teams, in my opinion, will go in the NFC East. Here are my picks. I got the Giants winning it again at 9-7. I got Dallas at 8-8. I got Philly at 9-7, but losing. They're not going to be the team from the East because of a tiebreaker, because I think New York's going to beat them at least once and have a better division record.
Uh-huh.
I have the Redskins 6-10 with RG3 rebuilding, because the Redskins have way too many holes in their offensive line and in their defensive backfield. There's two things that really suck if you're a football team: having a lousy offensive line and having a terrible defensive backfield. The Redskins, arguably, Roy, wouldn't you say this, have the best front seven on defense, maybe in football. Well, San Francisco's a little bit better.
And I like New York. I like the Giants.
Yeah, I do too, when they're healthy. And they should all stay healthy. But they, you know, they've proven before to get nicked up. San Francisco is going to be there when it's over, I think. I also think Green Bay is probably going to be there. I like the Giants being the spoiler again, because if you can get through the NFC East schedule and win the division, in my opinion, it gives you a great opportunity to outplay teams that you're going to be underdogs to. Mm-hmm. That's what the Giants did all year last year.
I like the Bears a lot.
Yeah, I do too, but they are the Bears. I know you love the Bears.
I like the Bears a lot.
You like Cutler. You like Cutler. Deep down inside, you wish you were Jay Cutler.
He reminds me a lot of myself.
He does. Well, he looks a little bit like you, only he's twice as big as you.
I like the Bears. We do disagree a little bit in the NFC East. I think the Cowboys are going to take it.
Oh, there's no way.
And I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys.
Hey, they're not going to have a wide receiver because he's beating his mama up.
But I think,
allegedly.
I think the Cowboys take
allegedly,
it.
He's beating his mama up.
But I got a Ravens-Packers Super Bowl. So that's...
You know what? That would be a pretty cool Super Bowl. And you know what? It'd be a great Super Bowl from around here. From around here, it would be absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. Because we're what? We're an hour from there. I am. You're actually not an hour from
there.
You're 10 minutes from there.
Yeah.
Are you gonna get season tickets this year?
No. I'll be at least one game. I'll be at the Ravens.
Hey, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back after this.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS New York. Talking all kinds of sports here. We just got done with the NFL odds to win the Super Bowl for next year. I have Ravens, Packers. The beef has...
I think I picked San Francisco, and I might have picked the Jets when I picked earlier this year. I really like the Jets, and I'll tell you why. They took a year off, for one thing, and they seem to be healthy, and they seem to... They're gonna have some pretty good chemistry this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, getting into some New York news now.
The Yankees.
Obviously, the Jason Kidd DWI, which happened last Sunday...
What's up with that?
Also, staying with the Knicks, Jeremy Lin does end up going to the Rockets. He ends up signing. The Knicks do opt not to keep him or match that offer, which was a 3-year, $25 million offer. Which
I can live on that.
Yeah,
that's only $4 million after taxes a year, though.
Which will send the Lin sanity to Houston. Now, this plays I mean, this is getting bigger and bigger with the Dwight Howard saga and all that decision or trade talks, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to deem this. Dwight Howard now, it's been narrowed to the Lakers and Houston. Houston has the money and they're able to do, you know, to take in all of those other people that the Magic just want to dump. Basically, it would be the easiest way to describe this. Houston will take anything and everything. Now, the right. Lakers have Andrew Bynum. They have Andrew Bynum to offer up. And when you're playing with Kobe Bryant and Gasol and Antoine Jameson just went to the Lakers, so you're talking about what could potentially be a dynasty there. So,
how long is Kobe going to even want to stay there, though?
I mean, Kobe Bryant is not slowing up. That's for darn sure. He was, what, 30 points off of the scoring title this year. So he's still got a lot of play left in him. Now, Bruce, I know you're not the biggest NBA fan, but you do follow the NBA.
Absolutely. I did this
of
year.
Of course. And one question I have for you, and for any fan of you fans out there who's listening, call
What are the Wizards doing?
No, 240-317-7294 if you want to answer this question. Is the power teams, these big threes, you can't even call them big threes anymore because they're bigger than three players. These monster teams that we're starting to see in the NBA, is this good for the NBA? Is it good to have OKC and the Lakers that you know are going to be the favorites in the West and Miami in the East? I mean, the Celtics are starting to reload, but they're not the monster that is the Heat. And if the Lakers are to get Dwight, then who's going to mess with the Lakers?
Well, you know what? To answer your question, Roy, it just depends on the outcome. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've got a phone call. And we're going to take this. This might be Bruce Bochy. All right, come on. Hello? Hello, Boch?
How are we doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. We're talking to Bruce Bochy, the skipper of the San Francisco Giants. He had a lot better things to do than call me, but he's doing me a favor calling in. You've won two in a row in Philly, Bruce. And did you go to our little restaurant that had the dogs' pictures everywhere with the good hamburgers yet?
You know what? I didn't make it there. I ended up going to another place, Park, which is a little French bistro. So I missed our hamburger place, but I did have a Philly cheesesteak a couple times here, which is the norm for all of us. So, anyway, I missed it, but if you would have come up, I definitely would have gone with you.
So now, listen, you're a Pats or a Geno's guy. You're a Pats guy, right? For the cheesesteaks?
Yeah, I've stopped at Pats.
That's where they pour the cheese on, right? Isn't that good?
Right.
God, it's so good.
It is good, and you have to be careful. You don't overdo it at Pats, and I have to keep an eye on Pablo, make sure he doesn't stop at Pats.
Yeah, it's funny. I sent Boach a little text earlier. I said, just give me 5 minutes with Pablo, and he said, I don't know if you could get him away from Pats that long. You know, I got to tell you, I like what I see with the Giants. You guys are doing a great job. Everybody that listens to my show knows I'm a Giants guy, then a Nats guy. I'm definitely not a Philly guy, and you know that. Juan Uribe had the best day he's had all year yesterday. Maybe that's because you guys are in Philly, and he's thinking about last year or 2 years ago when he hit that bomb into right field off the trademark of his bat to send you guys to the World Series. That was pretty awesome. Do any of those memories come back to you when you're in Philly?
Oh, no question they do. We talked about it the first day we got in here, the great memories that we had here, and of course Juan's home run, but you know, going in that series, a lot of people just didn't give us a chance to get through the Phillies, and we got some great pitching, some clutch home runs, and found a way to do it. And we'll never forget celebrating here that game. And you realize, hey, you're heading to the World Series, so those memories always stay with you. And every time you walk in the ballpark, you'll think about them.
Now, who's going for you today on the bump?
We got Zito going. Zito got us off to a good start on this trip. The first game in Atlanta, threw 7 shutout innings, and so he's going to finish up this trip. And we've had a pretty good trip, but if we can get this one, it'd make it a great trip because we had to prove that we could play out here on the East Coast and deal with hot weather. Although we've been lucky with the weather, but the last time couple weeks ago, we came out here. We had a tough time against Washington and Pittsburgh.
I tell you what, I was at that Washington series, and it's the only time I ever root against the Nats. And the Nats have had their hands full this week, too. I mean, I think everybody's kind of coming back to everybody else right now. What I like about what you guys are doing is you're figuring out kind of who your best guys are, what lineup situations that you're better off in. You've had a little bit of a problem with closing games because obviously Brian Wilson's out this year. But Casilla did a great job before the All-Star game. A lot of people thought he might make the All-Star game. Of course, there were a few guys, including Sergio Romo. Hey, a lot of people don't understand and don't even know who Sergio Romo is. Boach, just take a few seconds and describe how valuable Sergio is to your team.
Well, I mean, here's a guy that's had to prove himself every year because he's not a power guy. You know, he's not 94, 95, and he's pitching late in the ballgame. But he's a guy that came up through our system and kept getting guys out. And finally, we gave him a shot up here, and he continued to do it. We made him our eighth inning guy. He can command his fastball as well as any pitcher we have on the staff. He's got a great slider. He throws two different sliders at any time. And more than anything is this kid's makeup. He's not afraid. He's not a big guy, but he's not going to back down. And he's got unbelievable numbers. He's getting lefties out better this year. For the most part, I throw him against right-handed hitters with that slider. But he's the guy that kind of solidifies our bullpen. I'll use him occasionally in the seventh, but usually in the eighth, and he's closing games for us too. And I think this guy is one of the best setup guys in the game. And again, last night or yesterday, came in and got a couple big outs for us and got to win it.
Now listen. I'm not going to keep you too long, Boach. I know this is traveling day for you. You're packing up, probably at the park now, but you probably already know who's playing. Got to tell you, yesterday's game, I did get to see all of it because you started at 4:00, and I've been rained out. You know, my team's been rained out 3 days in a row. Matter of fact, as soon as this show's over, I got to go get the field ready for a doubleheader. But I got to tell you something. You know, I kind of like Gregor Blanco. I know you do, too. This is a kid from Venezuela who was with the Atlanta Braves for years, and they just kind of gave up on him, and everybody kind of wanted to know, well, why did they give up on him? And I think, you know, as the year has progressed, you know, he kind of backed himself into a little hole from a standpoint of maybe not getting it done. But now all of a sudden, he's starting to look like the guy again. He lays down a nice drag bunt on a safety squeeze last night to give you the W. That was huge. Of course, earlier in the game, he missed a sign, I understand. And but you know what? When that happens and you come back from that and you win, to you as a baseball guy, doesn't that make you feel good that, hey, maybe we're getting some breaks for a change now?
Well, we did get some breaks because we matched that squeeze, and that Blanco's in my doghouse for a couple of innings. he can't miss that. That's what he's got to be looking for. And we left some men on base, and we left them stranded there. And then what you like about what Blanco did, as you mentioned, is he put that behind him and ended up laying down a perfect safety squeeze to win the game for us. And, you know, he gives us added dimension to this team. When he's not playing, I use him off the bench at pinch run, or like yesterday, Pagan gets thrown out. He went in center field. Schierholz is going to get a start again. He's 3-for-3 off of Blanton, so I'm going to throw him out there, lead him off. And he's been throwing out some decent at-bats, and Blanco seems to respond better when I give him some rest. But he's the guy that I really feel that got us back in this thing when I put him in a leadoff spot. He took off, had over 400 on base, and just seemed like he was the catalyst for this team. And so I'm giving him a little break now, but once we get home, I'll be putting him back in there.
I can't wait to see that. Listen, you know, I'd be crazy if I didn't give Sabe some accolades here. In the offseason, you sign Melky Cabrera. Actually, you trade Johnny Sanchez for Melky, right? And Johnny Sanchez just got traded, I guess, to Toronto or somewhere. I mean, he just got moved
Colorado.
To Colorado Rockies, who are in your division. Christ, hopefully he won't come back and beat you guys. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, you may end up being able to get Johnny Sanchez for a song and a dance at the end of the season. And if anybody knows what to do with Johnny Sanchez, it's got to be Rags. Got to be Dave Righetti. I mean, he basically made him, helped make him as valuable as he was to the Giants, you know, all along. But Brian Sabian makes these moves over the winter. He signs Angel Pagan as a free agent. Or was that a trade too, Boach? I can't remember. It was one of the two.
It was a trade. We traded Torres and Ramirez for Pagan. And you're right, Ryan did a great job of just getting us more athletic. That Melky trade was unbelievable. I mean, that changed our club. And, of course, Pagan. And then getting Blanco as a six-year free agent. Really, we're a completely different outfield. We have more speed. And we have some guys that can do some things with the bat. And so it made us a different club. Last year we were slow, but this year we can steal a base. We can manufacture a run a little bit easier and self our offense. And in our ballpark, you know, speed is so important with that big outfield. And we got some guys that can run down the ball.
Hey, Boach, can you hold 1 minute? I just need you for one or two more questions and I'll let you go. We just got to make a break real quick. Can you hold for a second?
Okay.
All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back with Bruce Bochy in just a minute. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
Way over town, that's good to me. Oh, yeah.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back on the air. I got Bruce Bochy on the line. He's in Philadelphia waiting to send his Giants out for the last game of the three-game series with Philadelphia in Philly. Bruce, let me ask you one other question. My partner is bugging the crap out of me, and I've heard this question asked 10,000 times.
Yeah,
if you manage the wash, I'll tell you who my partner is. It's Greg Edwards' son, Roy. You remember Greg? So from the Braves, he's a Brave. So he's not a pirate like you, but he's a Brave. But anyway, if you were Steven Strasburg's head coach, would you pull him out at 160 innings, and that would be it for him for the year?
Well, that's not.
Just asked him.
That's not my entire. That's not my entire question. It was, would you think about going to a 6-man rotation? They've started talking about that in Washington, the possibility of a 6-man rotation to push him deeper into mid September. Would that even be an option for you if you were the manager of the Nationals?
Yeah, it's hard for me to answer this question without knowing all the variables. Strasburg, knowing him better, they know what they're doing. They're having a great year there, and they're going to do what they think is right to take care of this kid. I mean, he's a franchise-type player, so I know what their plan is, and I respect that. They know him. They know what they should be doing there. Now, whether I go with the 6-man to go deeper, take them deeper in the season, well, that's going to depend on who the other starters are. You know, and again, I need to know more variables and be around. But I got enough to worry about my club, really, to be honest. Instead of thinking about what I would do there. So,
believe me, Boach, it wasn't my question. You know, here in D.C., we hear that question asked 1,000 times a day, and I've basically gone on record saying, I don't even want to hear that question anymore. Last thing, you leave Philly today, right, and you'll fly to St. Louis? Is that right?
No, we go home.
You're going home. Okay.
Yeah, we have San Diego tomorrow.
Now, don't you have like an 11-game homestand?
Yeah, it's a pretty good homestand, and then we hit the Colorado, Houston, and this is the last time we come on the East Coast, which would be nice, instead of making that 5-hour flight, we'll be closer to home, which will make it a little bit easier for our guys, our travel.
Well, listen, I thank you for coming on the show, Boach. Thank you so much for coming on. We wish you the best of luck the rest of the year. And as you know, I'll be in touch, buddy. You have a good one today. And get a W in Philly. I hate Philly. You know that.
All right. Well, we'll do the best we can. And And just send me some lineups. I'll be waiting on them, Bruce.
You got it, buddy. I'll see you soon. That's Bruce Bochy of the 2010 World Champion San Francisco Giants. In my opinion, the best manager in Major League Baseball. He is definitely a player's manager. He knows more about the game, I think, than probably even I do. And I won't admit that about many people. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Roy, I just got to tell you something. I'm on Twitter just about as much as you are. I'm so tired of every question about Strasburg.
Well, here,
yeah, but listen to me.
Here's the deal.
Six-man rotation. Do you know who came up with the six-man rotation idea last year? Me. That's what we were talking about last year to keep both of them in.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, that was my only question.
I think that's a great idea if you have that many. But you know what?
That was my question. Do you shut them down?
But here's what we're starting to see. There's a reason that they have a five-man rotation in baseball, and sometimes they even have a four-man when they've got off days.
Right.
And the reason they do is because they need every one of those damn relief pitchers, because look what happened to the Mets last night.
The Mets get beat,
and they bring in R.A. Dickey, and he gets hammered.
Plus, it's all about habit. These pitchers want to get into a habit. They want to keep doing their thing.
Basically, it gives them an extra day of rest.
Right, but
they get
to play golf. But coming off of the All-Star break right now, we've already seen the rotation move around with the Nationals. And if you count Lannon pitching last night, it sets up a six-man rotation. So I agree.
But Lannon came right from AAA.
Right, and they sent him.
And that's a whole different deal.
And they sent him right back down. But my question wasn't,
right,
do you shut him down? You shut him down, no doubt about
it.
But
see, when you talk to a major league manager about what another team does, these guys are a fraternity.
Well,
and we're talking. Yeah, but we're talking about Davey Johnson.
I know that.
I'm not going to question what Davey Johnson does. Whatever the hell Davey Johnson wants to do, he does. He's the best manager, in my opinion, besides Bochy in baseball.
And
these are the two best teams, and they could end up in the World
Series. My question was not in the NL Championship game. As well.
Yeah, that's true. But the American League could be the Yankees.
But what I was saying was, not should Davey do this.
Right.
Should the Nationals do this.
Boy, that's all everybody else asks.
Would you do this?
Right.
Because I want to know.
But what was his answer? It's not up to him to make, he's not going to say yes or no. Because
and he said there's more variables you'd have
absolutely
to look into.
I mean, it was a PR
answer. I understand that. But
no, it wasn't. It was a truthful answer.
Well,
cuz it's not up to him to decide what the Nats do.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, if you ask a question about Joe Girardi, now don't get me wrong. If we have let's say the Yankees bench Swisher for just some reason.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably have an hour on the phones in New York. Should Swisher be benched? Yes or no? And there's a million different opinions on why he should be in there, why he shouldn't be in there. And that, to me, is important. But when you're talking about an ace, listen, when Steve Strasburg first pitched that first game 2 years ago,
yeah,
it was like World Series Game 7. Everybody was on their feet the entire game in Washington.
Yeah.
It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. You were there.
Yeah.
It was the most surreal thing we've ever seen in our lives. That's how important this guy is to the Nats. And if they shut him down and finish in second place and they're out of the playoffs, so be it. Then next year, they've got him for 200 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, he's fine, hopefully. You know, you're listening to Bruce Hall and Roy G. Roy, I'll tell you what I love about Roy. Roy is the ultimate. He really knows this stuff. A lot of reasons Roy and I are totally opposite is because of our age difference.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm more conservative, let's face it. I'm even more conservative probably, although I don't know if I am politically, but I am politically more conservative than Matt. Jesus, Matt wearing his Batman suit. When are you going to take that Batman suit off? I'm just kidding. It's a Batman shirt. And by the way, we haven't even talked about what happened in Colorado. And the first thing I'd like to say is our hearts and our prayers go out to everybody that had anything to do with this. And the saddest story of all the stories about the Colorado incident was the female sports reporter who had just moved to Colorado. She was in Toronto several months ago when the guy shot up a food court in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
She left her seat and he did the shooting from her seat a minute later. And she went outside because she felt ill And you can go on, you can Google this, you can Yahoo it, you can do whatever you want, you can find this story. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see it on there. This girl wrote an article about what happened to her in Toronto. Guess what? She was in the movie theater and got killed.
No.
In Colorado. What are the odds of that happening? Trillions to one. Yet, for some reason, if you believe in God or a superior being of any kind, there was a reason for her to stick around these last 6 months because it wasn't her time. By the way, the Boulders pregame show starts at 4:30, and we're talking about the Rockland Boulders,
yeah,
who have won 7 games in a row. And where's my boy up in up at the station? Where's my hat? Where's our hat?
Where's my hat, Kyle?
I wear a size 8, size 7, and 7/8. Roy's a pinhead. What size do you wear?
Well,
7 and a quarter?
I wish I'm like a 6 and 7, 8,
oh
7.
Oh, my God. He is a pinhead.
You can save yourself some money and buy a toddler size.
Hey, there are two. God, Roy, 6 and 7, 8?
Well, it's more like a 7.
Yeah.
When I shave my head, I wear a 6 and 7/8.
Oh, my God.
With my hair, I wear a 7.
I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G. Hey, I'm going to take a peek real quick at the update on the scoring on the leaderboard for the Open Championship. And it should be getting real good right about now. Let's see. Adam Scott for the day, 2 over. Ernie Els is even par, and he is 4 strokes back at 5 under. Guess what? Tiger, 2 over for the day. He's tied with Graham McDowell at 4 under. Everybody is on the back 9 now. Luke Donald is 1 under for the day. He looks like he may finish at -2. If he does, guess what? He's the leader in the clubhouse. Louis Oosthuizen is even par for the day. He is 2 under also. We already said Nicholas Kolsarts. Doesn't look like 1 under is going to be good enough, Nicholas. Sorry, but you did sure make up some ground and make more money by shooting a 65 today to finish at 279 for the tournament. He's tied for 9th right now. Everybody else is pretty much done. Dustin Johnson, Mark Kalkovecchia, both 1 under par. Let's talk baseball. What do you say, Roy?
I'm down to talk baseball.
Yeah, pull up the scores from last night. I've got everything right here. Hold on 1 second. First of all, the Yankees are in trouble. They're not in trouble because they're 7 games out in front still, but they're in trouble because they're in Oakland. They're in Oakland, and Oakland may be the hottest team in baseball right now. The Oakland A's, this kid Orlando Cespedes, hit a bomb last night. Looked like it went about 480 feet. This is the guy that came from Cuba that they paid all the money for, that a lot of people are saying right now may absolutely give. are you flipping me the bird?
I'm watching this warm up from the Junior Olympics.
Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, we'll start with baseball when we get back. There's no need to start on it right now. But all I'm telling you is the Yankees have lost 2 in a row to Oakland, and don't be ashamed of that. Everybody is losing to Oakland right now. They absolutely are. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that Juan Uribe, remember when I was – by the way, Bruce Bochy and I, just so everybody knows the story, we played on the same Little League All-Star team. I've known him since we were 10 years old. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. And when I was talking about Roy's dad, Greg is a year older than me, and he was on my Little League team, and he was an All-Star too, just like Roy. And, you know, it goes without saying, guys that you hang with for that long are your friends forever. Anyway, in Major League Baseball news, Juan Uribe went 2 for 3, had a double and a home run, scored 3 runs, drove in 4 runs, and the Dodgers unfortunately beat the Mets. Now, this was the thing I didn't understand last night, Roy. Did you? Why did they bring in R.A. Dickey in relief on a Saturday night when he's supposed to start on Tuesday? Now, I understand he's a knuckleball pitcher, and, you know, I'm a baseball coach, and he really would have pitched. He would have pitched, Roy.
Yeah.
Are you looking at a girl's body or something?
It's this girl sprinter.
I'm sitting here trying to get Roy. I'm trying to get Roy's attention, and he's like, he's drooling over his computer.
I'm not drooling. I'm just all right. So this girl, Michelle Janecki, I guess is her name. She's an Australian hurdler.
Yeah.
She does this little, like, dance to get attention or whatever it is, YouTube this. Michelle Janetke.
I'm not going to YouTube it.
Dancing Australian Hurler.
Then I'll get distracted.
She's dancing around and doing like all these little, hey, look at me things, you know, kind of almost showing off. She gets in her stance and then just blows everybody away. It's like, you expect somebody who's like showing off, you know, to like, okay, we get it, girl, you know, we're looking at you, whatever. But she just whoops everybody.
Anyway, getting back to the R.A. Dickey situation.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Generally speaking, though, you know, he doesn't take a lot out of his arm when he's throwing the knuckleball anyway. And he would have to throw a bullpen session like 35, 40 pitches anyway on about yesterday or the day before. So I guess what Terry was thinking was that, you know, Collins maybe – this is his bullpen session.
Yeah, no, but Johan Santana also, he's on the DL now, so it looks like the NL East is turning more and more into a two-team race between the Nationals.
Yeah,
and
it looks
the
like they're going to be at 500 or less pretty soon. You're listening to AM
1230. Well, it's been a great show. It's over. We're done, right?
We're done?
This is it?
If,
you know, when you're, if time flies when you're having
we'll
fun.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for all our guests. Thanks for listening.